We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on an ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection, and the majority of the time, she will choose life. But she can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside her. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
I love talking about the things of God because of truth and the biblical worldview.
The U.S. Constitution obligates our government to preserve and protect the rights that our founders recognize come from God, our Creator, not our government. I believe that Scripture in the Bible is very clear that God is the one that raised up each of you, and God has allowed us to be brought here to this specific moment in time.
This is Jenna Ellis in the Morning.
Good morning. Good morning. It is July 1st. So happy July. I can't believe that the year is already half over, but it's so great to be back with all of you. And I am out in Colorado visiting my family, which is so much fun. And so I'm on a little bit different system than I normally am. So if you hear Copper and Todd in the background a little bit more this morning, that is why. They are up and very excited to be out in the giant backyard that my parents have. So they are very much enjoying vacation. And I just have to say, I have been really looking forward to this particular show because I watched the entire debate on Thursday, and I listened to Bishop Jackson, who I just loved hearing from, and I know a lot of you did as well, and it's great to have him as an option to fill in for our AFR family when we needed. And I listened to the show on Friday and his analysis, and it was probably actually a good thing that I had the weekend to digest all of this and to kind of read through the analysis from others, including especially the left. It was really surprising to me that almost immediately, and in fact, completely immediately, because I was watching CNN where the debate was held, the panel immediately after, almost unanimously, other than Kate Bedingfield, who is on CNN now, and she used to be one of the communications members of the Biden administration. So she was a little bit more hesitant to just call it quits for Biden. The entire CNN panel said that Joe has to go. And it was so clear from the left that they were stunned into silence with how poorly Joe Biden performed. And there's a lot to unpack here because it's not just about the Democrats versus the Republicans and whether Joe will be replaced and the campaign heading to November. And we need to talk about all of that. But the really big takeaway for me was how much the Democrat Party and the Biden administration have been lying to the American people basically this entire time. Because as much as over the last couple of days, a lot of the media has been trying to spin this and say, well, Biden just performed a lot more poorly than we anticipated, or this excuse that he was on cold medicine. And I'm thinking, okay, has he been taking cold medicine since, you know, 2019 or even years prior to that? As much as they tried to spin this, we all know, because we have seen since Biden got elected, And since he has been in office, we have seen his rapidly deteriorating mental state. And it's not only shocking, it is disheartening. I felt really bad for him on stage because he clearly was not capable. But the people around him absolutely know what's going on. I mean, you can't be around someone like that. And I know there are a lot of you, and in fact, a lot of you have emailed in and written in or posted comments on my social media talking about your own experience with members of your family or friends who have had early onset dementia, have had other cognitive issues, and saying, you know, this is basically what you also have experienced, to see how he was mumbling, how he was incoherent. And the people around him on a day-to-day basis know this. And this isn't just one night. It's not a slow start like what Kamala Harris has, and we have that sound as well, but that we'll play in a minute here. It wasn't just a slow start. It wasn't an off night. It wasn't just, oh, he's hopped up on cold medicine or, you know, some drug cocktail that they probably gave him. I mean, we all saw since, 2021, when he first fell up the stairs, and that happened multiple times. We've all seen, and everyone, regardless of politics or policy or arguments or any of that, just as Americans, we have all seen that the current commander-in-chief is not capable of fulfilling his role. And that has been concerning to a lot of people, including some friends of mine who are Democrats even. That has been concerning over the last several years and the 3.5 years that Biden has been in office, but it was on full display the other night. And so even if Biden is replaced, my question is, how can we possibly ever trust anyone in the Democrat Party to tell us the truth? And I would suggest we couldn't long before now, but this is one very stark and very troubling example of how we have been lied to as a nation. I mean, you want to talk about the big lie? And Representative Chip Roy, who I spoke with this weekend about his resolution and the introduction of the bill to invoke the 25th Amendment, he's been posting prolifically on social media just about how the big lie really now is Biden's mental state and who has been running the country. These are all questions that we need answers to. And if you didn't watch the full debate and you've only seen some clips, and we have a couple of clips ready this morning and all of that, that doesn't even do justice to how cringeworthy and how difficult it was to watch that 90 minutes. I mean, it was over in the first not even 5 minutes. I mean, you saw Biden walk out onto stage. He looked very old, feeble, and frail. I mean, and this is just sad because it's the ravages of a fallen world. And it's really just tragic to see. And then you saw President Trump, who's only a few years younger, but clearly much healthier just in mind and body, you know, walk out. And the contrast between the two, because this wasn't just Biden at one of his rallies or talking on a stage that we don't know, is this really the Oval Office or the little propped up one that was made for him? I mean, all of these questions are so important to the American people of who has actually been running the country. We deserve to know. And it's not just about the election. It's actually still about the next 7 months. Because no matter what happens in November, and I truly do not believe that Joe Biden has the capacity to not only anything for the next 4 years, but even for the next 7 months and for the last 3.5 years. I mean, what has really been going on? Because remember, he's fallen up the stairs multiple times. He fell down at that the military academy graduation, or, you know, that ceremony. Fell down. He fell on his bike. He was lost in the Rose Garden that time when he was coming from the helicopter. That was a couple of years ago. I mean, we could go through example after example after example. This was not just about one poor debate night. So this was what Governor DeSantis had to say about the end of the Biden campaign and the right concern, I think, that Republicans like Chip Roy and Senator Mike Lee and others are raising about not just the next 4 years and after November, but about the next 7 months for America as well. This is Cut Three.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Sean, I think I witnessed the unofficial end of the Biden campaign, and it will either officially end at the DNC this summer when they replace him, or it will end this summer, or it will end in November when he suffers a resounding defeat to Donald Trump. The reality is you cannot watch that performance and say that he could serve another 4-year term. I don't think he could even get through another 7 months. And I think this country's in very serious trouble with him at the helm, given the weakness that he's projecting there. And I think about it this way. You know, Sean, you and I are conservative. We obviously want to go conservative. There's a lot of voters that are maybe in the middle, but this is something that will matter them. And I think about it, if he were applying to run like an agency in the state of Florida, your home state, there is no way in a million years I would hire him to run even a middling agency in the state of Florida. There is no way the American people are going to sign him up for another 4 years as commander in chief. And I think that this was the most lopsided debate performance that I've ever seen. You know, one of the things I think Donald Trump did a good job of is always coming back to Biden's main weaknesses, especially the border. It really didn't matter what issue was. He would talk about what Biden's done at the border. Biden had no answer for that. In fact, Biden at one point was even acknowledging that women were being raped by illegal aliens under his watch. So it was a disaster for Biden. I think that they're going to definitely try to do something this summer. But if they don't, there is no way the American people are going to give him another 4 years.
I hope that's true, that the American people will not give Joe Biden another 4 years, because there is no way that he can actually fulfill his duties. And this isn't just whether you agree with his policies or not. This is actually about what the Constitution provides for. And it's not about being unfit, because remember when Nancy Pelosi and others, when Trump was in office, they were talking about invoking the 25th Amendment because they hate Trump, right? Nothing whatsoever to actually do with the rule of law. And she had that giant billboard in Congress that was talking about the 25th Amendment, but they used a sleight of hand. And we're talking about how Trump was unfit, which I totally disagree with that, but that's just because they completely hated him. The 25th Amendment says unable. It's literally unable physically, mentally, or in body and mind to fulfill your duties as the commander in chief. And that's what Governor DeSantis, that was on Sean Hannity the other night in response to the absolutely horrible performance of Biden on that debate stage. And it wasn't just about the performance. It was about overall just how he looked, his entire demeanor. And there is just no way that he can fulfill his role and his duties. And so in the next segment, and we're about to take a break here, I want to talk more about the 25th Amendment, about this whole idea of Biden being replaced, because I think this is a conversation that America needs to have regardless of who anybody supports in November. We have to, as Americans, have a commander in chief who knows where he is, who is cognitively sound, who can actually do his job. I mean, that is a bare minimum threshold. And I don't care if this was a Republican, I would say the same thing. Because as conservatives, and especially as Christians, we need to be principled. And the 25th Amendment is there for a reason. And that reason is to ensure that our commander in chief is able to do his job. And this was passed so that we didn't have a situation where the president, whether there was an assassination attempt, for example, like on Ronald Reagan. This is why the 25th Amendment was passed, that we have a line of succession after the vice presidency, which was originally in the Constitution, the only next line of succession. So now we have that as a country. And we need to take a serious step back and ask ourselves, why have we been lied to, and what is the remedy? So we're going to talk about that more when we come right back here on Jenna Ellis in the Morning.
You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show, and that's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you, we need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on us. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or $140, helps to rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't. Together, you and I can save lives. Just dial #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back. And we are talking about the absolute disaster that is our current commander-in-chief, Joe Biden, that was on full display last week on Thursday, and where the country goes from here. And it's so important that we understand the purpose and the design of the 25th Amendment, because this isn't just about November and the election. It's about the next 7 months before whoever is elected, whether that is Joe Biden, a replacement, or Donald Trump, or RFK, I mean, whoever it is, would not take office until January 20th of next year. So we still have 7 months as a country, and I guarantee you that a lot of this nation's enemies, not just our allies, that were probably very concerned, but our enemies were watching the debate, seeing what everyone else saw on that debate stage, which was a very weak and frail and obviously cognitively diminished commander-in-chief of the United States of America. And that puts our country at a national security risk. It puts all of our federal government agencies out of the executive, at least in a state of questioning who is actually running the country. And if we go back to the 25th Amendment, and I mentioned Reagan, but I actually should have been mentioning Kennedy as well, because it was actually Kennedy's assassination itself that led Congress to push for this key constitutional change of having a line of succession in the 25th Amendment, and ensuring that we know as a country what to do when our commander-in-chief either unfortunately a national tragedy like an assassination or some other kind of disability. So it contemplates the death or disability. And this is why the language of being unable to discharge the duty is so important, because a lot of people for policy reasons can argue whether or not we think that someone is fit for office, but that's what elections are for. We get to decide as the voters whether or not we, and for whatever metric we determine, whether or not someone is fit for office on our own criteria. That's why we get to vote. And so being fit for office can be totally subjective. It can be outside of any sort of constitutional parameters. It's completely up to the individual voter how we choose to steward our vote and decide to cast that. But being unable, that is an objective framework, whether or not someone is actually physically or mentally capable. And so this piece coming from Axios just 17 hours ago, I mean, this is the state of the country right now, is that Democrat candidates run away from Biden. And consider this from Axios, which is no friend at all of Donald Trump or the Republican Party. They're reporting, along with the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times editorial board, calling for Biden to step down. And the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, a very far leftist publication. I mean, almost resounding chorus of Democrats now are calling for Joe Biden to step down from running for office again. But interestingly, no one besides a couple of Republicans are questioning what happens in the next 7 months. And just listen to the difference here, and Rusty Rockets, who's Russell Brand, he goes by Rusty Rockets on Axe, actually posted this really great montage, and the whole thing is about a minute and a half, and I'm only going to play the first little bit here, but he posted a side-by-side of the 2020 debate and Thursday's debate, and you can just hear. I'd encourage you to go watch the video, because the video itself is even more stark when you see just the countenance of Joe Biden even 4 years ago compared to now. But you can hear, even for our purposes today, just in his voice, how significantly he has declined between just a few years ago and now. This is cut one.
I continue to think we have to make fundamental changes in civil rights. And those civil rights, by the way, include not just only African-Americans, but the LGBT community.
He wants to get away with, get rid of the ability of Medicare
It's just so sad. I mean, you could hear at least Joe Biden being better 4 years ago. And even then, I remember when I was working for the Trump campaign 4 years ago, that people were questioning his cognitive abilities and questioning whether he was able, not just unfit, but able to be the commander in chief, and were very concerned about how 4 years would go. And that entire decline that has been so rapid just in the last few years has just been remarkably terrible. And Trump was right to call out Biden and to continue to focus on not just what he was saying, but I think that even Trump was floored, because remember, he hasn't seen Biden in person in a while. And this is cut too. And I think this was the moment, this was the best moment of the night for Trump, because of the response that he gave to Biden's mumbling.
And I'm going to continue to move until we get the total ban on the total initiative relative to what we're going to do with more Border Patrol and more asylum officers.
President Trump?
I really don't know what he said at the end of that sentence. I don't think he knows what he said either. Look.
That was just the that was the thrust and the nail in the coffin, and pardon that expression, but that was really where it all completely just broke down for Biden. And I think that Trump was right to call that out. And in fact, if there was one critique that I had for Trump, and I thought he was very measured, he showed leadership, he showed a command and mastery of the issues. And again, whether or not anyone on the Democrat side liked what he had to say or agreed, never, you know, fact-checked and all of this other stuff, and they called out, you know, Trump lied 20 times. Well, Biden lied too. You know, it's none of that actually mattered. What mattered is that Donald Trump was capable on that stage. He was in command, and he talked about his own policy. And sure, if you want to fact-check him, if he got some of those numbers wrong, we should be doing that. I mean, neither side should be up there, you know, spouting anything that is not accurate. But in terms of just the capability, it was so stark and so clear. So the question then for conservatives and for those of us here on AFR who care about the future of our country, the question becomes, what happens in the next 7 months? And Chip Roy is calling for invocation of the 25th Amendment. And there are a lot of people who are suggesting in response to that, that we shouldn't invoke the 25th Amendment, should not remove Biden, because that's just helping the Democrats for November. That will then set up Kamala Harris, and we definitely don't want her as president. All of those different arguments. And Representative Roy has filed that resolution to urge Vice President Harris to convene the cabinet, declare Joe Biden unable to carry out his duties as commander in chief. And I have a couple of thoughts for this, because as conservatives, we need to be concerned first and foremost with our rule of law, with the country, and not just be playing games and trying to position ourselves strategically for what is best for November. That's all campaigning, and that's all fine. But when it comes to the next 7 months and the future of our country, I think that Representative Chip Roy is absolutely right to file this resolution to urge Vice President Harris to convene the cabinet and declare Biden unable to carry out his duties, because that's just the self-evident truth in this situation. And do I want Kamala Harris to be president? Absolutely not. I think she's ridiculous. I think she's incompetent. I think she's unfit, but she's not unable, right? That's the distinction. And if we are clear in terms of following principle, we know now. If we didn't know, or if there was any argument or speculation about Joe Biden's actual ability, there is no way that he is cognitively able to lead this country for the next 7 months. And this is the purpose for which we have the 25th Amendment. Now, currently, the 25th Amendment requires that it is either the president himself that will tell Congress, I'm not able to carry out my duties. And this could be in advance of, for example, a major surgery where he has to undergo anesthesia and transmit to Congress a written declaration saying, I'm unable, and until such time as he transmits to Congress, I'm now back and I'm able, and that's fine. And that was actually one of the episodes on The West Wing, if any of you watched that show, which contemplates a lot of different legal and presidential scenarios. And in that storyline, the president had to undergo surgery for, I think it was a gunshot wound, and, you know, all of this other stuff. And so transmitted to Congress that declaration. And then a couple of days later said, you know, I'm back and it's fine. And so the 25th Amendment contemplates that type of scenario where the president, him or herself, recognizes that there is going to be a contemplated future event that he has to transmit that declaration. But if, like this instance, Biden is not going to transmit that declaration, he's staying in office, he shouldn't be in office, then the 25th Amendment allows the vice president and a majority of the cabinet members, because these are the people that work with the president on a day-to-day basis, they're in his cabinet, and it is contemplated by Congress that they would be ones that would be loyal to him. It's not about staging a coup or an ouster. It's not impeachment. It's not any of these other powers that are, you know, delegated to other branches of government. In the ratification of the 25th Amendment, it was all about understanding that there may be a scenario like this where the president is unable to discharge his duties. And so the Congress, in their wisdom in contemplating the 25th Amendment, provided for the vice president and a majority of the cabinet members. But we've become even more politicized since the 1960s when the 25th Amendment was ratified, that I think Congress now needs to invoke a different section, because the 25th Amendment also allows for another body or any other such body as Congress may by law designate. So it doesn't have to just be the vice president or the majority of cabinet members, because currently, and it may be that the Democrats are just so done with Biden that they decide to invoke the 25th Amendment, but they would be tacitly admitting that Biden is incompetent and that they have known that for a certain period of time. And there may be then, and I think there should be, an investigation. Who knew? How long have they known? How long has Joe Biden been this unable and incapable and mentally diminished? I mean, this is a national scandal. And this is why I'm taking so much time this morning to walk through all of these different principles, because we need to, as conservatives, understand that this is about, first and foremost, in the next 7 months, not just about the November election. And so as much as maybe it does help the Democrats in the long term for this type of resolution to go through the Congress and be initiated by a Republican like Chip Roy, but I think he is doing the principled thing. He's putting aside party politics and is actually looking out for what is best for the country. And Mike Lee is on board. There are a number of other genuine originalists that, by and large, I agree with their policy perspectives because they are faithful to the U.S. Constitution. And so one of the things that they could do under the text of the 25th Amendment is, by law, and they could, just for this instance, it's not going to necessarily be for every other instance in the future, But the 25th Amendment allows Congress to legislate in accordance with the 25th Amendment to establish any other such body. And what would that look like? Well, it shouldn't be partisan. It shouldn't be able to be weaponized, be political, like saying, well, we're just going to set up a select committee, for example, that we're going to put on it whatever members we want, and we can effectively oust a sitting president. That's not the point of the 25th Amendment. It's about the death or disability of a current sitting president. And what Congress can, and I believe should do, is legislate in a bipartisan fashion, because now that Democrats have actually admitted this, at least most, if not all, of their pundits. I mean, when you've lost Anderson Cooper, when you've lost CNN, when you've lost Van Jones, when you've lost Joy Reid, I mean, that's really bad for your side. I mean, this would be like, you know, Sean Hannity and Tucker and Dan Bongino and others saying, you know, we don't think that Trump is mentally capable to serve. I mean, that's how big for the left that this is, right? Their key PR people are openly now saying that Biden needs to go. And so perhaps this could be one moment in America's history that all sides could come together for the good of the country, and there could be bipartisan legislation that would be passed just for this instance to say, we are going to fashion a nonpartisan committee or body of perhaps doctors or people who could actually assess the mental abilities and cognition level of the president, and could submit their recommendation to Congress. And if they say yes, the majority of us agree that he is unable, then that would invoke the 25th Amendment. And in this instance, I think that's reasonable. And I think that is what we should do. And regardless of what happens next, and yes, I don't want Kamala Harris to be president any more than any of you do, right? Or even any of the Democrats, they don't want her either. It matters to the future of our country, and we need to follow the rule of law. And Steve Dace, our good friend, posted this: if the Republican Party does not do the right thing for the country by supporting Chip Roy's resolution on the 25th Amendment, it risks allowing the same Democrats and media who gaslit the country for years on Biden's mental state to now do so again by leaving him in office to finish his term while he's incapacitated. Allowing them to bypass a weak candidate like Kamala would probably be someone Trump can't beat. This is a blow.
Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, how many times I would have taken you under my wings. They had everything that was necessary for them to know Jesus and follow him, and they went their way.
I think for nations, for individuals, there is a day that you have to make the decision to respond to the Lord, and it might be that the door of opportunity after that shuts.
Exploring the Word, weekdays, 3 p.m. Central on AFR.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back, and we are talking about Joe Biden's, the current sitting president of the United States, his inability for office and to carry out and actually discharge his duties, and where the country goes from here. And I fully support Chip Roy and Mike Lee and the others who are calling for the 25th Amendment to be invoked. And regardless of the partisan politics, regardless of how everyone feels about Kamala Harris or what the Democrats might do come November and the campaign in the next 4 years, this is about the next 7 months. So we do need to invoke the 25th Amendment as a country. And I think we should encourage Congress in a bipartisan fashion to legislate according to the contours and the powers that are provided to Congress in the 25th Amendment if the vice president and the majority of the cabinet are unwilling to do their job. And if they are unwilling when the country sees how clearly unable and lacks ability Joe Biden is to run this country, there should be an investigation and there should be other impeachments. I mean, this is how serious this is. This is not just about a Trump versus Biden or the November election or any of those things. Now, everyone has really shifted in terms of the conversation about whether or not Biden will be replaced. on the ticket in November. And that conversation needs to happen. But the whole conversation nationally has shifted towards that in the aftermath of the Thursday debate. And I think that that is the wrong focus. Now, will the Democrats do that? I mean, Axios is suggesting this, as we talked about in the last segment. The entire emphasis has been on the campaign, has been November, the next 4 years. But that's letting the Democrats have too easy of a pass. That's letting them just ignore what they have ignored for the last 3.5 years. That is allowing them to continue to lie to us, the American people, and simply shift their focus to whether or not Joe Biden will be replaced. Now, my personal opinion, and I've said this for a while, and those of you who've listened to this program over the last even year, as we've been talking about contemplating the primaries on both sides and heading into November, I've said for a while that I do not think that Joe Biden will be the ultimate candidate that the Democrats will have on the ticket come November 2024. I've been predicting that for a while. Now, the question becomes, who can they possibly replace him with? Because they don't like Kamala. She has, if anyone is polling lower than Joe Biden, it's Kamala Harris. Nobody likes her. But if they replace her, because she's the presumptive next, because she's the current sitting vice president, right? And she's also, she fills all of their, almost all of their identity politics nonsense. I mean, probably the current press secretary is the only one that checks all of their queer theory identity politics even more because she's an open lesbian, right? So that would be, those types of check boxes are probably what they're contemplating, because if they replace a Black woman, and they're admitting, by the way, that they know what a woman is, if they replace Kamala Harris at the top of the ticket with, for example, a Gavin Newsom, who is a straight white male, then a lot of their base might be outraged by that. So, and I'm sure that they're contemplating a lot of these different things. Now, whether or not it will ultimately matter come November, I think that the Trump camp is very concerned about a replacement, because anyone is more cognitively sound that is being contemplated than Joe Biden. So anyone that they replace, whether it's a Gavin Newsom who has terribly managed California, but he also has an extremely crazy leftist General Assembly. And actually, I think, as much as I disagree with him completely, he acquitted himself well during the debate with Governor DeSantis. And even though, yes, we can fact check him, we can say he completely sidestepped all of the responses on abortion, for example, that is a huge issue to all of us here at AFR, all of those things, of course. He was competent. He had a very good debate night. He defended his crazy positions well. And that would be a very different ballgame for a Newsom versus Trump, or a Gretchen Whitmer versus Trump, or people are suggesting Michelle Obama. That's a potential if she wants it. You know, but all of these things are what the Democrats are contemplating. And I do think that they're going to replace Joe Biden. And even though a lot of the speculation about talking with his family at Camp David this weekend and all of those things, if the DNC and the party decides, and I think that they have, that Joe Biden needs to step down, that will be the decision, regardless of what Joe Biden himself says. Now I thought to myself, I was like, why don't they just put it on the teleprompter? Why don't they just tell Joe Biden that he already agreed to it? Because he's that mentally gone that he would probably go, oh, yeah, I don't remember that, but okay. Or he would just read it off the teleprompter. I mean, kind of Ron Burgundy fashion, right? So there are a lot of different maneuvers that they could take. But this election in November needs to be set aside for a moment. And I would love to see the Trump camp, regardless of how that impacts November, to stand up and do the right thing and to point out how the Democrats and the leftist media have lied for years to us, the American people, and to point that out and to ask ourselves that question of how we can possibly trust anything that they could say to us. And I do want to play this clip from Anderson Cooper interviewing CNN. And this was just a wild interview. I mean, I was watching this live. because I watched the debate, the full thing on CNN. And then I stayed with CNN because I wanted to see their reaction, because Fox is very predictable. I mean, you know, Newsmax, Salem, all of those are, you know, we're all conservatives. And Fox is basically just a PR mouthpiece for the Republican Party. So regardless of how it went, they were going to say Trump did great, Biden was terrible, right? Like, we all know that. I wanted to see what CNN had to say. And the first 30 minutes or so leading up to this interview with Kamala Harris, it was like a parallel universe to see that almost entire panel just resoundingly say that Joe Biden is unable. And then Kamala Harris, they fed her to the wolves. And this interview with Anderson Cooper, it was like he suddenly morphed into a Republican, because he treated her almost like a hostile witness and was asking her some very pointed questions and asking her, are you really sure that this guy is okay? And is this the Biden that you have seen every day? And her initial thing was, well, he got off on a slow start. No, this wasn't a slow start. This was an utter disaster. But this is how she tried to spin this. This is cut five.
But this was a debate that your campaign wanted. You pushed for this debate at this moment. You can't honestly say, I mean, can you say that you are not concerned at all having watched the president's performance tonight?
It was a slow start. That's obvious to everyone. I'm not going to debate that point.
It was a slow start. She's like 27 octaves higher because she knows she's lying. She knows she's out there just giving all these talking points that apparently she didn't get the memo that everybody else did, right? Or for some reason, she thinks that she still has to be loyal to the person of Joe Biden instead of being loyal to the country. I mean, this is why loyalty to principle and loyalty to the best interests of the country matter over loyalty to a person, or because circumstances can change and policy can change. And we as conservatives need to see this moment with Kamala as a cautionary tale of how we should not behave. There, everybody knows that Kamala Harris is lying in this. I mean, it's just so, and even as much as she's always a little bit awkward, and that's generous probably, and as much as she cackles and as much as she's so cringeworthy, I mean, she was about 17 octaves higher than her normal voice because she knows. And it was remarkable that Anderson Cooper just kept coming at her saying, is this really the Joe Biden that you've seen every day? And what can she answer to that? What could she possibly say? So listen to how she tries to just divert the conversation. This is cut four.
President Biden 4 years ago, and he was a very different person on the stage 4 years ago when you debated him. That's certainly true, is it not?
Anderson, the point has to be performance in terms of what a president does. A president who incites insurrection against the Capitol. No, but I got the point that you're making about a 1.5 hour debate tonight. I'm talking about 3.5 years of performance in work that has been historic.
But whether is that it be the man, infrastructure, the former guy, the other guy, is that the other guy on the debate stage?
The person that you saw on the debate stage that has, for the last 3.5 years, up until today, performed in a way that has been about whether it be in the Oval Office, negotiating bipartisan deals so that we have an infrastructure, a real infrastructure plan where we're putting trillions of dollars on the streets of America to upgrade our infrastructure. Whether it be the person I see in the Oval Office who is meeting with heads of the military and the intelligence community and in the Situation Room, ensuring the safety of America. The person I see in Joe Biden on the world stage, convening world leaders who often ask for his advice, most recently just during the G7 conference. So I'm not going to spend all night with you talking about the last 90 minutes when I've been watching the last 3.5 years of performance.
That's just utter infrastructure, really. That's where she wanted to go with that. But I would have loved to see Trump, and I thought he did very well in answering the questions about that were obvious, you know, about January 6th and so forth, to just say, you know, listen, the Senate held a trial on that. And if you don't remember, I was acquitted. I mean, she keeps bringing that up. He needs to push back a little bit harder, I think, on some of those things. But for Kamala Harris to actually bring that up as if that's the contrester, that's not the question that anyone was asking. And of course, she can say, you know, look at what the administration has done in the last 3.5 years, which, in my opinion, as a conservative, is not only a disaster for the country, bad policy, all of those other things. But regardless, let's say that Joe Biden had a few wins. Let's say that there were a few policies that even the Democrats really liked, and I'm sure that there are. That's not the point, because how do we know that Joe Biden was even a part of any of that? That's the question that needs answering. And we cannot focus so exclusively on November that we are not concerned about the next 7 months, and that we just give Democrats a pass for lying to the American people for the last 3.5 years. That is what really concerns me as an American. And I think that regardless of policy, politics, any of that, we have to, at the end of the day, as conservatives, the whole point of that is conserving the Judeo-Christian principles that we were founded upon. It's conserving our rule of law. It's ensuring that we have capable, not just fit in terms of our subjective view, but an objective view of ability of individuals who are in office, that they can discharge their duties. All of those things are not partisan. They're not party-driven. And we need to do the right thing for this country, the next right thing, instead of being so concerned about playing games or manipulating things or trying to put Trump in the best possible position to win. I mean, all of those things, sure, we can campaign, we can all have our opinions, we can do all of that. But in terms of the next 7 months and accountability for the last 3.5 years, absolutely the 25th Amendment needs to be invoked. We need to do the next right thing, which is calling Biden himself and especially those around him to account and to ask them, how long have they known? And if you are sitting there, and I just want to close on this note because we're already out of time. If you are sitting here thinking, this is just horrible for our country, I'm so concerned, I would direct you to Psalm 13 and my church, and I'm out here, so I actually got to go to my parents' church, my former home church in Colorado. We talked about Psalm 13 yesterday at church, and it starts with, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? This Psalm of David, he has been in the midst of difficulty for a prolonged period of time. And you may feel that way with our country, that we have been in the midst of difficulty for a pretty long time here, with all of the progressive leftist, Marxist, queer theory, anti-Christian, lawfare, all of this. We need to pray and ask God to remember us so that he will act and hopefully save our country. But even if he didn't, our hope isn't in America. Our hope is in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Never forget that. We aren't promised anywhere in Scripture that we will have the freedoms and liberties protected by a government. There have been so many governments that never protect their rights. And we have had the blessings of liberty for so long that we have forgotten that occasionally in history, we don't have that. So end with this, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
We'd like to thank our sponsors, including Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies' lives. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.